This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Matt Wolf, VP of Communications with G&O Inc., stepping in for Michael Heck. And Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here and happy to enjoy this wonderful post-carnival day.
Absolutely. Beautiful day for sure. A lot of twists and turns, a lot of challenges over Mardi Gras, a lot of challenges leading up to Super Bowl as well. But it seems as though the economic impact is going to be fairly healthy. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. Well, look, I mean, what a season it's been for New Orleans, first of all. You know, we had Taylor Swift in October, obviously had the Super Bowl last month, now just wrapping up Carnival, and we're just getting started. I know we've got so many more great events, French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest, etc. But, you know, of course, Carnival is one of the big ones, and it is in many ways synonymous with New Orleans. You know, we're looking at, you know, this being a pretty high impact event for the city and the state. I know last year's Carnival season came in with an economic impact of around $900 million. You know, that was, you know, $892 million to be specific in total economic impact. You had about $28 million in fiscal benefit to the city of New Orleans, which obviously that's just one part of the Carnival experience. I know it extends far beyond just the parish borders. $14 million in state tax revenues. Obviously, Louisiana can always, you know, use a little bit more in the bank. And of course, our visitors that come in, as well as locals who are spending on throws and everything that they do around Carnival season, add to that. So generally what we're seeing is, for every dollar that's spent on putting Mardi Gras on, you're getting $2.64 back. And I mean, that those are the kind of numbers that you really kind of can't argue with. And, you know, beyond that, that's not even putting the valuation on what it means for our brand, what it means for locals to have something to look forward to engage in. You know, it's really an essential part of the city and making sure that we keep our mojo.
That's pretty incredible that the ROI is that strong, in my view, because a lot of the activities in and around Mardi Gras by the people putting it on is tax-free. And when you have that scenario, I mean, that's pretty strong, that return.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, you've got to think about the fact that, you know, the parades themselves, for the most part, especially for the locals that are attending, it's a free event. You know, I understand you may buy some food and drinks, but, you know, there's no cost for admission. And even for people who are visiting, you know, yeah, some are staying in hotels or may have taken flights, but, you know, the activities that they're taking part in, especially for the parades, are really without any cost involved. So, you know, to have that kind of impact and put on a free event to be enjoyed by all is really kind of incredible. We're excited to see that that's where the numbers stack up.
Absolutely. I know you guys are in y'all connect up with everyone as it relates to fairs and festivals. We have French Quarter Fest. We have the Jazz Heritage Festival headed our way, the golf tournament. What are you hearing from those guys?
Well, you know, as I just mentioned, we're coming off this string of major events that we've managed to do well. I think that there's just an excitement in the air because, you know, going back to our mojo, I think for a moment, you know, obviously the world shut down for a bit during the pandemic. People aren't traveling as much. maybe New Orleans wasn't at the top of everyone's list, but now it is. And now that we've got these huge, high-profile events that we're doing on such a magical level, we're seeing the excitement and the numbers really look fantastic. So when we look ahead to the calendar, you just mentioned French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest, the Zurich Classic. Those are events that, right now, at least when we look at what reservations look like, I think those are going to be amazing, and I think the energy is just going to continue. And so, hopefully we don't have too much of a letdown when we get to the summer and things slow down a little bit.
Let's pivot to another topic, the state tuition or tax-funded scholarship program, LA Gator. Some dates coming up on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, the program's going to be shifting a little bit. It's going to open up to some more families. It's going to allow for some more uses than what it really kind of looked like in its previous incarnation. People are going to be able to start, well, actually just started to be able to start applying for it this past Saturday. I think I may have had the dates wrong. But, this is a program that helps people across the state unlock more educational opportunities for themselves. This, allows them access to private school tuition. They can spend the money on tutoring, textbooks, special education services, and other similar expenses that fall within the education domain. This is, we're not alone in this. We're one of 20 states that created this type of scholarship. Some call it a education savings account, and it's really, the idea that it's giving families, the ability to have flexibility around their education choices.
And I know it's been talked about quite a bit, and it's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately plays out. A lot of eyes on this topic, right?
Absolutely. And, obviously, especially, here in the New Orleans area, private schools have been a significant part of the education system. I think, they've risen to the task for decades, and I think that the idea that those schools may be more in reach, for families, I think makes this an even more appealing destination as we look to attract companies and individuals into the market. Obviously, that's not to turn our back on the public school system. I know that is still making strides. We obviously had the recent test scores that came in that looked phenomenal, but I think it ultimately comes down to giving parents choices. Obviously, this is a very personal decision that families have to make, and we're excited to see how this pans out for the state. We think it'll be great.
Matt, earlier this year, Entergy announced that they were going to start discussing a deal with Delta Utilities. It seems as though they've been able to set the target date, which will be in the second half of this year. What will this mean for consumers of natural gas?
For current customers and even future customers, it really doesn't change much. Their bills are still going to come through Entergy. You're still going to contact Entergy. If they have any outages or emergencies, any service questions or anything along those lines. So it's going to be a really seamless transition. I don't want to pretend that I know everything about the energy industry, but I think this sounds like a situation where there are always contractors and downstream service providers involved in these industries, and I think this is just one that we're happy to see. That's a pretty high profile partnership that is going on here. I don't even really know if I'd call it a partnership. It was a sale, but I think. Secondly, it also helps Delta Utilities emerge as a rising energy company in the market. So, we like that it means stability for customers at the end of the day, but we also love the idea that this relieves some pressure from Entergy and allows another company to kind of step in and provide some of those services that are so needed.
Yeah, and when you have a company that wants to get out of that sector of the energy business, you don't want to compel them to stay in, right? I mean, if there's others that want to be in it and want to master it, you really want to help foster and facilitate the transfer.
Absolutely. And again, you want to make sure that your customers aren't feeling as though they're having to learn a new system and a new group of individuals that they've got a contact for everything. This just keeps everything the same, and you know, hopefully, you know, we'll all feel good about this, you know, by the end of the year.
Matt, this next topic I really like because I just happen to like the tech entrepreneur, Matt Wisdom. He's starting a new AI-powered online platform called ChatNola that's going to collaborate with city government and residents in identifying, reporting, and addressing infrastructure issues like potholes, leaks, abandoned vehicles. Information is power. City won't be able to say they didn't know any longer once this thing is implemented.
Yeah. What I love about this story is this is really where I think the power of AI can really be utilized and felt by everyday people. You know, the fact that, you know, you've got these city databases of information, you've got, you know, information on project updates, you've got, you know, information that's going in, you know, reports that people can send in via text or photo, that they can request special services like trash can replacements. These are all very kind of like relatively simple tasks, if you will. I mean, there isn't a high level of complexity when it comes down to it. So the fact that AI can kind of sit in the middle of the end user and the service provider, I think that's where we're going to start feeling the power of this AI revolution. And, you know, hats off to Matt. Obviously, he's been a huge force behind entrepreneurial growth here in New Orleans, and the fact that this is where his eyes are next. I'm really proud to see where he's going with this. So obviously all the work that we just did around the Super Bowl with infrastructure work, you know, I do just want to say, Matt, where was this a year ago? This might have made things a little bit easier.
Timing is everything, right?
Exactly. Maybe he was inspired by what we were doing.
Exactly.
Seeing how long we were taking with everything, so.
And talking about timing, there's been some management shifts. Mike Sawaya leaves the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center to take on the position that was left by the CEO of the Audubon Foundation, and he moves there. And then Jim Cook, the general manager of the Sheraton, who's liked by a lot of folks, just a great guy, he becomes the CEO of the Convention Center.
Yeah, we love this story for a lot of reasons. Jim's close to the house here at Geno Inc. He's very involved with a lot of regional issues, specifically spends a lot of time on helping out with crime locally. So you've got this person who I think has a wider vantage point than I think people may think when they see what his job title was, you know, general manager of Sheraton. And that's not to say, look, I understand that facility is huge and an integral part of our hospitality sector, but I think, you know, what his experience and what he brings to the table is really going to superpower what's happening at the convention center. And then similarly, the convention center is in this moment of reinvention, if you will. You know, it's a facility that, you know, I think punches above its weight. I think it does a phenomenal job, but you know, here's a facility that's, you know, about to undergo some significant renovations on the inside. They're constructing that new headquarters hotel right across the street, which is going to be a tremendous game changer for their ability to bring conventions and conferences into the market. And then just right next door is the River District, which is just such a revolutionary new development that's happening next door. You know, I can understand, you know, why finding the right person to take the helm right now is so critical. And I think they found the right guy in Jim Cook, because he's going to really, I think, going to do phenomenal things for the facility and for the area.
A lot of people really underestimate the reach of the convention center and what it actually means for our local economy. And that's the sense that I get. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, business travelers, first of all, are just a very different breed of travelers than the people who are just coming for, you know, a fun weekend, or, you know, even the ones that we just described, you know, whether it be Super Bowl or Mardi Gras or Taylor Swift. You know, they're here for a purpose, and so what they're looking for is a really seamless and comfortable experience, which New Orleans provides in a phenomenal way. Being able to be so walkable to the convention center is fantastic, but more importantly, it's what they mean in terms of spending power. So these are people who, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, are spending a lot of time in the convention center or in other facilities like it nearby, and maybe not utilizing the full aspects of the city. So we've got to make sure that the time that they're spending under that roof is really first class. And I think that not only does the convention center do that today, but I think that the way that they're looking at things in the future is really transformational, because the competition between New Orleans and other markets is only growing. And so our reputation is very strong, but just needs to continue where it is. So you're right. It is an integral part of our economy.
Tulane gets some more recognition for participation in a very important program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is now the third consecutive year that Tulane is one of the top producers of students selected for the Fulbright U.S. Student Program. So this is the government's flagship international education exchange program. And, you know, I can tell you anecdotally, having the exposure to go into an international market is really priceless, because each country's way of doing business is unique, and the products that their citizenry uses are unique. And so the more that you can kind of make your vantage point a little bit more generic, your chances of success are higher. So, for example, there's a statistic that for startups that operate in more than one country, their growth is twice as fast as companies who operate in just one country. And part of that is because you're kind of leveling the playing field of the way that you do business. You're leveling the playing field of what your services or products look like, so that they're not customized to just one market. And so I know that as a student, the more that it can shape your mind and how you're thinking, how you want to approach your career, I would imagine that there's a number that looks similar to the one that I just mentioned, that your chances of success increase dramatically by having exposure to studying in another country.
One of the things that Michael talked about while we were in preparation for the Super Bowl, Matt, was that we had a lot of new artwork going up, and it seems as though Celebrate Canal will soon debut their windows on Canal. Where is that going to be located, and what's that going to be about?
Yeah, so there are a handful of locations that are being eyed right now for this new program, Windows on Canal. It's a series of outdoor galleries. You know, they're likening them to the porch floats that are shown during Mardi Gras. I'll have to find out exactly where the exact locations are, but I know that they are along Canal Street. What I love about this is, I don't know how much of a chance you had to drive around or walk around during the Super Bowl, but the week leading up to it, you know, I finally got to break out of the office and do a little bit of exploring myself. And what was interesting is, as close as we were to the murals that were put up for Super Bowl, I hadn't really seen them in action and seen how much it transforms our city. New Orleans is a place with deep, you know, art history, with a rich culture, and we don't always look like it because our buildings just look like buildings. And so the fact that now you can go down major roads like Porter Street, Canal Street, and you can be immersed in these, you know, artistic murals is something that I think is fantastic. Obviously, where your art is, you know, has been doing this type of work, you know, for years now, and the fact that they've partnered with Celebrate Canal to make this happen, I think it's going to change the way that Canal Street looks and feels. I think it's going to embody what people think about New Orleans before they even come here, and I think for locals, it's going to give us a chance to see something maybe a little bit different from what we normally see, because obviously that road's very historic, and the fact that we're going to have it look a little bit different is going to be pretty exciting and worth taking a look at.
I may be all wet on this, but is it less likely that this type of art to have other people like go and mess with it? I was noticing on Chapultepec Street, all on the flood wall of the port, right? Some beautiful mm-hmm. artwork there that's been done, and it seems like people don't mess with that. They don't, you know, spray paint over it or otherwise. They seem to respect that more.
Yeah, there seems to be a little bit of a sense of respect between artists, because we will call street artists and graffiti taggers also artists. I think that there's, you know, a sense of pride that each other have for the work that they do. And so you're right, as opposed to a building that looks like it hasn't been touched in decades, versus, you know, something that clearly there's some new artwork on. And you're right, that Stretch of Chop of Tools is fantastic. That's a great initiative that's still underway, trying to showcase the history of New Orleans along the flood wall. You're right. It's kind of a, you know, an unwritten rule that you know, hands off for murals that are already up.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Matt Wolf, VP of Communications at GNO Inc. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.